Friends, our Pentecost lesson this morning comes from the book of Acts, the second chapter, verses 1 through 21. As I read these ancient words, listen for something new being spoken into your life and into your heart at this point on your faith journey. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind, and it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as a fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every nation under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed and astonished, they asked, "Are not all of these who are speaking Galileans? And how is it that we hear each of us in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, and residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, and visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speak about God's deeds of power." All were amazed and perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" But others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them, "Men of Judea and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. Then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." Friends, this is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Friends, tomorrow is the first day of June. Can you believe that? And that means that summer is upon us. And that means that spring is on the way out. What happened to spring? Well, I can't answer that because that's a special relativity question. But I can say that while spring has moved a bit faster than I remember it moving in past years, I have had more time, I think, to appreciate spring. You see, I've been trying to get out for a walk as often as possible. And when you walk, you tend to take in more than when you travel by car. I've seen the trees cycle through, from bare limbs to buds to flowers and now to full leaf. And I guess it's all the stay-at-home time people have now, but it seems that yards are in better shape this year than they have been in previous years. People are out working in the yard. When I walk, I see them out, you know, they are pruning or mowing or mulching or planting. It's beautiful. Oh, I want to see a virtual show of hands right now. How many of you have planted tomato plants this year? That's pretty good. That's a pretty good number. Okay, follow-up questions. First, how are they doing? How are your tomato plants doing? Second, do you really expect to get full-fledged tomatoes off those plants? And third, and most importantly, who are you kidding? Who are you kidding? Come on. I've done it and it's useless. I did it again this year. It's futile. Okay, I'll even broaden it out a bit here. How many of you have other types of garden? Not just tomatoes. Let's just spread it out to all sorts of gardening. And I'll throw in patio gardens and what are the kind of gardens you have? I guess balcony or deck gardens even? How many have gardens of any sort? You know? Hey, that's not bad. That's not bad either. Okay. Why bother? Why are you bothering even doing that? It's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. My cynicism is well earned through many years of relentless toil. Every year, I plant tomatoes. I move them around, put them in different places, try fertilize. Nothing. Nothing. Tiny little tomatoes. I know what the author of Ecclesiastes felt. Meaningless. Meaningless. All is meaningless. NIV translation. That's what gardening is, folks. So give it up. Go boating. Take up another hobby of some sort. I don't know. Just get out of gardening while you still can. Do you know any green thumb people? Sure you do. Phyllis, are you out there? They make me so mad. I don't know why, but it really bugs me. That ability that some folks have to make things grow. To make anything grow. If you didn't know Maddie Bell, I'm sorry. We named a building after her back here. If you didn't know her, Maddie Bell had the greenest thumb that anyone could ever have. She could cut the leg off an antique chair, put it in water, and it would sprout roots, I would say, in 10 days. How do they do it? How? They're a rare breed, those green thumbers. They just know how to work the soil. They know what to add and what to take away from the soil. And maybe most importantly, they know how to water the soil. They know how much to water. And that's the real key, isn't it? Watering is the key. Okay. Happy birthday, church. Happy birthday, church. Did you know today was Pentecost Sunday? Sure you did. We've already talked about it. Okay. But before that, did you have any clue? No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Well, unless you watched last week, then maybe you remember I said something about it. Or maybe you saw it in your order of service. You see, most of us don't keep track of the liturgical year. We don't have time to mess with all of that. So we rely on the church to keep us informed, to keep us up on such things. Of course, we know when to celebrate Christmas. That's a solar holiday. We can count on that. December 25 every single year. But without a little bit of help, Easter would be hard to pin down, don't you think? Pentecost? Forget it. Forget it. My. How times have changed. Until just a few centuries ago, Pentecost was one of the biggest holidays around. It was a big deal. It stood head and shoulders above Christmas. It was second only to Easter. But that was then. This is now Pentecost. What in the world's Pentecost? Okay, quick history. The word Pentecost means 50th, as in the 50th day. In the first century, Pentecost, or Festival of Weeks, was celebrated on the 50th day after after Passover. This 50-day period represented the 7-week cycle of the grain harvest. It was an agricultural celebration in which the first fruits of the harvest were offered to God in an act of thanksgiving. Later, it would become a celebration of God's gift of the Torah to Moses on Mount Sinai. But first and foremost, it was an agricultural celebration, a thanksgiving. Pentecost was a busy time in Jerusalem. Jews from all over the region would come to the city for the holiday. Devout folks would flock to the holy city to give thanks to God for God's goodness and God's mercy. In other words, at its heart, Pentecost was a celebration of divine providence. God caused the rain to fall on the fields. God made the sun to shine down on the crops. Sacredness saturated their lives. God was in the midst of the people, and they knew it. They knew it. And they celebrated at the festival of Pentecost. Okay, enough said. Well, it was with all of this history and experience and theology swirling through their minds and through their hearts that the disciples gathered together in the upper room to celebrate that first Pentecost since that faithful Passover 7 weeks prior. As they sat around the table together, they debated what to do next. They were confused about how to keep the proclamation of the kingdom of God alive and moving forward. You see, when Jesus was walking with them, they had had purpose. They had had direction. They had had power that drove them on. Things were clear then, but now things were not so clear. It had been 50 days. Where was the purpose? Where was their purpose? Where was their direction? Where was their spark? Where was God? Well, as they pondered their future, something incredible happened. Something mysterious. Something mystical. Something that changed everything. Luke describes it this way. Suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. Again, as I said last week on Ascension Sunday, don't get caught up in all the special effects here. The imagery used by Luke is wild, it is fantastic, it is intense, it's Pentecost language. That is, it is imagery used to convey the presence and the power of the living God moving in the world. You know, as I said earlier, Pentecost is sometimes called the birthday of the church. It's been called that because it was at this point in time that a fledgling religious movement found its purpose and its power and its God. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but something happened, and there was no going back. No going back. Too often when we think of Pentecost, we just think of speaking in tongues. People just say that, oh yeah, that's when speaking in tongues started. But that's not what it's all about. No, no, no. The message of Pentecost is so much bigger than that. It's about the sacred colliding with the world. It's about the pouring forth of the divine presence into a presence to water a parched community of faith. You know, maybe the meaning of the ancient Jewish holiday of Pentecost is identical with the Christian meaning of the holiday. When you get right down to it, first fruits. The offering of the first fruits, the offering of the best that we are in response to God's grace and to God's presence that has been poured into our lives. I remember reading a piece where the author compared the soul to a field in which all sorts of seeds have been planted. They said, our mind is a field in which every kind of seed is sown. Seeds of compassion, joy, and hope. Seeds of sorrow, fear, and difficulties. Every day our thoughts, words, and deeds plant new seeds in the field of our consciousness. And what these seeds generate becomes a substance of our life. I like that. It's back to the gardening image again. You know, we all have competing claims on our lives and on our souls. Each day we make choices on which of these claims will take precedent. They then move to the forefront of our lives and express themselves in our lives and shape the person we are in the process of becoming. Now remember, the goal that we have set for us as children of God and members of the body of Christ is to so tend the soul that the image of the visible God that is made manifest in and through our living. It's very simple. In short, it's about watering those seeds buried within us that brings wholeness to us. But at the same time, withholding water from those seeds that fragment who we are. Friends, we need to learn from our gardening friends, those green thumbs among us. The presence surrounds us. It permeates us. It's planted deep within us. What we need to do in this place, in a community called Pleasant Grove, is to strive to work the soil, fertilize the fledgling plants, eradicate those pesky bugs, and to apply just the right amount of water to bring forth what is already present and hidden in the seed. The bottom line is that Pentecost is about touching and being touched by God's presence and then allowing that presence to bring forth new and abundant life in us and among us, even in times like these. So the Pentecost challenge, as far as I see it, is this. Water the seeds, my friends. Tend the garden. Oh, and good luck with the tomatoes. Happy Pentecost. Happy birthday. Thanks be to God. Amen.